World Talk Radio.
Course for informative talk on the World Wide Web.
World Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dave DePue Network, the voice of business. You're listening to the Spencer Power Hour with Dr. John Spencer Ellis.
Falling asleep at the wheel again, baby. You're drifting over the line.
Spencer Power Hour. I'm your host, John Spencer Ellis. We're going to do something different today. We're going to shift gears and talk about management of pain in your body. And I have a special guest. We're going to take a very quick break. Stay with us. If you or a friend is experiencing pain, you're going to be able to get out of pain now and forever. Stay with us.
Hold, please. I really want to become a personal trainer.
I know I'd make a great life coach.
I'd rather teach yoga.
I want to teach Pilates.
Nesta will make your dreams come true. Learn about our convenient distance training programs. Earn your certification. Gain valuable business skills. Choose from personal training, Pilates, yoga, sports conditioning, life coaching, and more. Enjoy your dream career now. Call 877-FITNOW2 or visit NestaCertified.com.
You're listening to the Dave DePue Network, the voice of business.
Falling asleep at the wheel again, baby. Hey, everybody, and thank you for staying with us. You know, there's something that people often overlook in their wellness program, their fitness program, and I've been guilty of this as well. They want to jump in there. They want to get the results. They want to get strong. They want to have sports performance. They want to transform their body. And what happens is oftentimes they overlook the foundational structure of what really makes us move and function and exist in hopefully a symmetrical pattern. But you're going to find out from our experts that most people are crooked, and I mean that in the most kinesthetic and biomechanical way possible. And my special guest is Anthony Carey. Are you there, Anthony?
I am here, John.
Hey, buddy. How's it going, man?
Outstanding, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. I want to just touch on a little bit on how we came to be friends and everything. Anthony Carey is probably one of the country's leading experts on functional movement. He is a biomechanist, a kinesiologist, a clinical and medical exercise specialist. He is a workshop presenter, an author, exercise therapy center owner, is that right?
That works, okay. Corrective Exercise Studio.
Yeah. Anthony is one of my teachers, and he's really smart. He has forgotten more about this stuff than I learned. So it's actually a good pairing, Anthony, because my skill set drops off when your picks up, and I think we complement each other in a lot of different ways. So
I agree.
Thanks for being on the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, I tell you what, no kidding, your workshop was one of the most profound, eye-opening experiences, and I have 20 years of education, and working with you in those two intensive days, I think what it did is it taught me, and I've had this kind of training before and all the different body work and the structural reintegration and all the different things I've done. However, your approach is so different. It made me look at the human body completely different from, you know what's funny, Anthony, and I know you get this, you notice people moving down the street and you're going, oh my gosh, look at that forward rotation of the pelvis. And so you don't want to be hypercritical. It's just that you're so in tune with the discrepancies in people's anatomy.
It almost haunts me, John.
And it's like you drive your family nuts with it sometimes.
Exactly.
Too, right? So, Anthony, what happens if someone, let's just say, because I know, unfortunately, you and I both know this, a lot of personal trainers do this, that they'll do like a, you know, a part Q evaluation. They'll do height, weight, age, gender, a body fat percentage with whatever methodology. They determine that they're safe to exercise, and they'll put them on a pretty well balanced, from all intents and purposes, you know, upper, lower push, pull, press, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday for an hour with some cardio and some stretching. I mean, generally that's going to give you good fitness, but what happens if someone has a major postural discrepancy and then you build a foundation on top of that?
Well, when you touch on a balanced program, we talk about there being a very large and dangerous assumption made, and that assumption is that the person is balanced in the first place going into the program. So we're looking at ratios of muscle groups that are being used, and if you're doing an equal amount of push and pull, then you're assuming that your pushing muscles are just as strong as your pulling muscles, or vice versa.
And how often is that actually the case, realistically?
Realistically, almost never. Everybody has their own unique imbalances that they bring to the table, and they can be based on occupational hazards, meaning the computer, or they can be based on recreational overuse patterns.
Sitting on a George Costanza wallet for too long a period of time and tipping your pelvis?
Exactly. Exactly. And depending on the size of your paycheck, that can be one tip bigger than another. But as well, you know, in general, there's a lot, and even what's in their health history, if they've been in an auto accident at some point, or they poorly rehabilitated another injury, all these things are, you know, the body is a history book when it's presented to us with a new client, and we've got to delve into that history a little bit more thoroughly and be careful about the general assumptions that we make, because there's a uniqueness about each and every client that has to be appreciated.
You know, it's funny, I thought of something. I remember my father, he'd go with his fishing buddies, and these guys were so deconditioned. My father, fortunately, he was a health fanatic, and that's why I got into it. But his buddies, one guy drove a delivery truck, and I remember that one of his legs had a 2-inch circumference discrepancy, and they were teasing him about it. And it was because he was a truck driver, and that was the leg he clutched with. And that was the only exercise he got. They were like doing a single leg press for 20 years.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
there
imagine,
you go.
I mean, that's messed up.
Well, and then keep in mind what that 2-inch discrepancy does to the overall strength and function of that leg when he brings that leg to everything else he does in his life aside from pushing that clutch.
Well, and then the non-dominant side tries to keep up.
Tries to keep up, and you have just unconscious favoritism of the stronger leg, and it's a self-perpetuating cycle. It just feeds itself.
I want to step back just for a moment, because we have listeners that are fitness professionals, fitness enthusiasts. Some people are deconditioned. Some people are exceptionally conditioned. I want people to understand why this is so important. Think about building a house without a foundation, or with a poorly constructed foundation, or on a hillside. What happens in Malibu Canyon when it rains? You know. So I want everyone to pause and think about this for a moment. Regardless of your goal, it doesn't matter if you want general conditioning, weight loss, whatever. If you do not create symmetry and balance in your body from the most fundamental level, you are going to add to whatever imbalances there are, which become augmented and exaggerated, embellished, if you will, over time as you grow as an individual. I don't mean that just in circumference, but just in every way. It becomes magnified. You have to start with the proper foundation. Go ahead.
Well, when the body is left to its own resources, meaning what feels natural to the body,
right,
which is usually habitual movement patterns, it's going to take the path of least resistance. And that's with or without a weight in your hand or against a cable or a tubing, etc. So unless the appropriate person steps back, meaning somebody that's been trained and knows how to look for these things and says, wait a minute, you know, if we continue allowing your body to do this, you're going to continue to perpetuate this imbalance, and the imbalance is really reflected in a movement disorder or a dysfunctional movement. It's going to continue, so we need to address this so that your body starts to play a little bit differently, because we're going to cue it to start a different sequencing pattern. The metaphor we use is the orchestra. The orchestra right now, if you got the tuba playing too loud and the violin is out of tune and the music is horrible. Now, if we get everybody playing nicely together, you can have beautiful music and beautiful movement patterns.
You know, actually, that is a great analogy. So, yeah, it would sound a little horrible if one thing was out of tune, but then everyone playing out of tune and also at different volumes.
Exactly.
And that would be the strength or lack of strength would be the comparison for the volume.
Exactly.
And so I thought what was interesting, and again, we're speaking to just people that may not be fitness professionals. So I remember during the workshop, which I thought was just, gosh, it was so eye-opening. When we hung a plumb line, and just for those of you who aren't biomechanists or carpenters, a plumb line is essentially a string with what's called a plumb bob that hangs straight down, so gravity pulls it straight down, and then you can align things up to it to see if it is true, both parallel and perpendicular. And so what happens when you line that up in front of someone and you see these discrepancies? What are we looking for?
Well, in general, we know anatomically that the body has what we would call a blueprint. You know, what's biomechanically and physiologically the most efficient position for the body to be in standing? And that it's kind of a theoretical model, but it's something to work from. And when you put somebody behind that line, that little line, it really magnifies these discrepancies that we're going to see from that blueprint. And you're going to see the deviations, and they really stand out. And you know, even digital photos of people take, they don't have to be fitness professionals. People take digital photos and send them to us all the time for us to evaluate. And it, you know, that one little piece of string hanging there can show the shoulders, the torso shifted. It can show the forward head if you're looking from the side. It can show the pelvic tilt that's off. It can show knee angles and hip angles and all kinds of things that normally when we just look in the mirror straight ahead aren't quite as obvious.
Well, I remember one story. Actually, you know what? I remember what it was. Years ago, and I was training a gentleman, very slight built, so everything showed prominently, and he had such a shoulder discrepancy that his tailor would add a half inch of padding to his suit on one side to create an appearance of symmetry. And, you know, obviously my goal was to remove the pad. Of course, this is a long time ago, not in the 80s when we wore really big shoulder pads, but it was a long time ago. And we didn't have a lot of these tools, and we didn't understand it to the extent that we do now. So at that time, I did the best I could with what I had. Had I known what you have taught me, my gosh, we would have yielded better results and much faster. But, you know, we did make progress, definitely. I think here's the thing also. And this goes back almost to kind of a Eastern philosophy and also one of chiropractic, doing with energy and nerve innervation from different levels of the spine and chi and meridians, all that. If things are compressed and not open and not symmetrical, if you are having more allergies, if you are unable to breathe deeply, if you get headaches, the work that Anthony does can help eliminate these. And I want to make sure we're talking about, this is understanding how your body moves. It's not medicine. We're not doing therapy. It's fundamental exercises that appropriately stimulate the muscles that stabilize your body, creating a balance before building upon that foundation. But if you've had these things, and Anthony, I'm going to ask you, what aside from biomechanical and structural changes that you've seen to people, because I've seen your before and afters that you've done with people, and it's pretty freaky, to be honest with you. What other ailments or symptoms, conditions have you seen eliminated or at least alleviated to some degree?
You'll see women with excessive menstrual pain. Mm-hmm. We do see improvements in migraines and headaches in general. We see improvements in TMJ. We see improvements in inflammation, chronic inflammation. And the reason behind all this is it's not a magic, pushing a magic button, like you say. By restoring optimal function or moving in the direction of optimal function at the very least, you start to provide an environment for the body to do what it does best when it's given a chance, and that's to heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so ongoing postural distortions and ongoing movement issues create ongoing stress to the body in all different levels and all different places. And if you can remove that stress, the body says, "Ooh, wait a minute, here's our chance. Let's start to heal. We've been given a green light here instead of getting stepped on every day."
You know, I was just thinking about something, and I know you've seen this, and I'd like for you to give me a couple other examples. Years ago, in grocery stores, all the checkouts faced one direction. I want you guys to think about this. I mean, so most of the people listening are old enough to remember this, to where the checkouts, everyone moved things from right to left or left to right. I don't remember what it was now. But what happened is they got a repetitive use injury. And imagine you're always pushing or pulling things from one side to the other for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, for 15, 20 years. And then you get repetitive use overuse injuries. And now you'll notice that the checkout stands at the grocery stores have some facing left and some right, and some move from the left to the right, and some from the left to the right. Or right to the left. There we go. Anyway, it's symmetrical.
It's variety.
So I take note of that when you're at the grocery store. That's why they did it, is because they paid out so much money in workers' comp from carpal tunnel and low back and neck injuries. I'm telling you, ergonomics in the workplace is essential, and maybe you wouldn't have to see Anthony if they would do that. But what are some other things that people may be doing on a continual basis, maybe in the work environment, that you think, wow, here we go again?
Well, the ergonomics are a huge part of it, as you mentioned, John, and making sure that the workstation is set up. But there's, you know, the one thing that we are able to control ourselves and is the body that we bring to the workstation. And, you know, it's kind of easy. I talk about in my book how you can blame villains, and one of the villains is sometimes the employer, that they didn't do this for me, they didn't do that for me. But our body is going to receive a certain amount of negative stimulus every day based on our societal constraints, like computers and chairs. But we have the power to do certain exercises that are going to counter that every day. So, you know, you get the forward head position at the computer, you get the forearms turned in and pronated, and you get all these flexion or rounding in the upper back, and there's this whole sort of desk jockey syndrome that our society deals with, and that's for the person that spends 8 hours a day on the computer, then goes home and surfs the internet.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about that real quick. We have a couple of minutes before we go to the break. There's something called an upper cross syndrome, and I'll tell you, the people who have it most are dentists and computer operators, and it's that kyphotic rounding. You want to explain that?
Well, we look at everything's done in front of us all day long, so the muscles in the anterior portion of the front of the chest and the shoulder tend to get shorter and tighter. And when a muscle has, every muscle has two attachment points, and when those attachment points start to move closer together because of the tension on the muscle, we see changes in the position of the body. So the pecs, the chest muscles in the front of the shoulder get tight. They cause that the shoulders to pull forward, which in response to that, the upper back starts to round more. And then in response to that, the body says, wait, this isn't right. Let me jut my head forward so I can counter the upper back moving in the opposite direction. And we start to zig and zag in an effort to keep ourselves feeling balanced. But it's just increased tension in these chest muscles. And then normally when the chest comes forward, then the shoulders round in, and when the shoulders round in, then the forearms round in, and then we actually will end up with people with carpal tunnel, and the problem isn't with their wrists, it's actually in their upper back.
Interesting. You know, I was just thinking, and if you guys want to see a real exaggeration of this, and part of it's due to degradation of the spine due to calcium loss, osteoporosis, osteopenia, whatever it is, predominantly more so in women because they lose it postmenopausally. But when you see a woman who has a rounded upper back called, you have a normal curve called the kyphotic curve, and then an exaggeration is a kyphosis, an exaggerated kyphosis. Then you get where you have the deterioration over time due to pressure and calcium loss, and you get what's called a dowager hump, predominantly in very elderly women where you see them, they're almost bent over in half. And, man, let me tell you, that's something you and your mom and your grandma want to avoid it at all costs. You know,
yeah.
Anthony, we have just 1 minute, and we're going to talk about all this when we come back. And you mentioned your book. We're going to talk about your book. And my guest is Anthony Carey, and we're talking about living pain-free and getting the most out of your body. And more to come, and we're going to show you how to get the most out of your workouts as well by doing the right things first. Stay with us.
Fix me, can you read the signs? Thumbing your way to Vegas dirty and dreaming of the other side. Save your tears and laughter because it doesn't matter what you find. It ain't pretty.
You're listening to the Dave DePue Network. The voice of fitness. You're listening to the Spencer Power Hour with Dr. John Spencer Ellis.
Falling asleep at the wheel again, baby. All right, you guys stay with us. We're going to be right back, and we're going to teach you how to live pain-free and get absolutely the best results with your workouts. Go nowhere.
Coming your way to Vegas dirty and dreaming of the other side. Save your tears and laughter because it doesn't matter what you find.
Hold, please. I really want to become a personal trainer.
I know I'd make a great life coach.
I'd rather teach yoga.
I want to teach Pilates.
Nesta will make your dreams come true. Learn about our convenient distance training programs. Earn your certification. Gain valuable business skills. Choose from personal training, Pilates, yoga, sports conditioning, life coaching, and more. Enjoy your dream career now. Call 877-FIT-NOW-2 or visit NestaCertified.com.
You're listening to the Dave DePue Network, the voice of fitness.
All right, everybody, and we are back, and my guest is Anthony Carey, biomechanist, kinesiologist, human movement specialist, and all-around nice guy. You know, I wanted to say one thing before we get back and talk about your book and everything, is that I am starting a 12-week case study here in Orange County in Rancho Santa Margarita for a new program I'm developing, and we're doing a case study to show the efficacy of my program because we'll be doing an infomercial for it. And I just wanted you to know, Anthony, that I am actually going to incorporate a lot of what you taught me in the preliminary and ongoing stages of the program to ensure that people start off on the right foot and we can avoid or at least drastically reduce any chance of injury and really maximize the results. If you guys want to see what that's about, go to my website, johnspencerellis.com, and you can click on Yoga Sculpt. And so, Anthony, thank you for your insight on that, because that way I'll yield better results.
Thank you for being receptive to it, John.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I think the only really bad part of my life is when my mid-20s, when I thought I had all the answers. and then you know, it's the only scary part is when you're so naive that you don't realize that there's a lot you still haven't learned.
Amen.
Yeah, and now I know you're in the same boat. I mean, I do 15 hours plus a week of continuing education. I'm still in school. And I don't know anything.
I can relate 100%. Sometimes it's quite intimidating.
Well, I think, gosh, you know, it's. I just admire intelligent people so much. And here's what I think about. As I think about all the things that I enjoy and that I've studied, whether it's formal, informal, from workshops like you or your book and things like that, and then I think about all the people, like what I learned from you, I think how much more I know, and then I think that you know 10,000 times more than I do in that area. And then I think about my mentors in neurolinguistics, and I think about Laura Klein, who's been a guest, and she's an expert in organic foods. And so for people to think they have all the answers is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, my theory is know a lot about a little. That's what I try to do.
My friend always says there's no monopoly on brains.
No way.
So let's talk about your book. Tell us the title of your book.
The Pain-Free Program.
Yeah.
A Proven Method to Relieve Back, Neck, Shoulder, and Joint Pain.
And where can they get it?
They can get it online, anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. They can usually get it in the major bookstores, but they can also get it on my website, which also has frequently asked questions. You can even download the first chapter for free, and that is AnthonyCareyInc.com. AnthonyCareyInc.com. Inc.com.
And your company is called Function First?
Function First.
Function First. Is that the domain as well?
Function First also has a domain name as well that is geared around the business. We have a separate office and one that has more information on the book, and my seminars is on the Anthony Carey Inc.
Okay. Now, I know you do seminars for fitness professionals, because that's what I attended. Do you do educational programs for the consumer as well? I know you were in New York not long ago doing something.
Actually, in New York, I was doing a fitness thing as well.
Okay.
I do things for a lot of health professionals. I'm doing something next month for all the PAs, physician's assistants for Kaiser.
Wow, that's awesome.
But I also do things for the general public. Yeah, we get to speak at for different groups that like to hear an alternative thought process to contemporary wisdom when it comes to why their knee hurts or why their back hurts or why their shoulder isn't getting any better.
Anthony, I can't tell you how happy I am to hear that, because I have heard and I have seen the commercials for Kaiser. You know, it says, we believe in yoga, we believe in this. You know, you've seen those things, and I'm so glad that they're actually backing it up with getting education from people like you. Because
their theme is prevention.
Well, they want to keep their costs down. But, I mean, what you're doing is smart. And I know you and I share, we share the appreciation for conventional medicine because the diagnostic tools and the science is just unbelievable. And still, we get frustrated because oftentimes there are things that are minimally or completely non-invasive that work very expeditiously and have little or no cost, and they ignore it because it's not what they learned in school, so they don't think it works, so they just have no knowledge of it.
Exactly.
It drives me up the wall.
Well, I'm thrilled to death that they're open to it. And
I'm grateful for them, and I applaud Kaiser for doing that.
I do as well. I'm looking forward to the group and hearing how they respond.
You know what? Well, tell them I said, hey, kudos to them.
I will.
So your book is fantastic, and the thing I like about it is as a fitness professional, it's got enough meat in there that we can really grasp onto some concepts and then relay that message. And yet it's very easy to understand for the consumer who doesn't have any specific anatomy or physiology or kinesiology training.
Well, the interesting thing to me that's evolved with this is it definitely was written as a consumer book, a self-help book where people could look at the different forms of the body and say, wow, that's what my shoulders and hip do. I better do these exercises.
Right.
And so they're available to them. But it's been a tremendous surprise to me how well it's the fitness professionals have embraced it because they use it, say, hey, I can use this to help with my clients as well. If I haven't been to a workshop or there's some cookie cutter programs that they can use in there that are better than doing nothing at all for their clients. So I've been very, very pleasantly surprised overall.
I want to talk real quick about small stabilizer muscles and why it's important to engage them before we get on to the gross movers, the multi-axial, multi-planar type of things.
Okay. Well, just as you had stated at the beginning as far as the foundation goes, an analogy I like to use for my clients is what I call the ski suit, and that's that if you've ever been skiing back east or even in the Rockies, you know, we go out there in layers of clothes, and just because your most superficial, biggest, prettiest, most expensive ski jacket is on the outside, that doesn't take away from the importance of this thin little cotton shirt next to your skin. And if you have ever worn a ski jacket with nothing on underneath, you know what I mean, where the drafts get up, and a T-shirt definitely serves a function, even though it's not the most expensive and prettiest one. Our body's the same way, layers of muscles, deep intrinsic muscles that have responsibilities to hold little things in place and perform kind of a foundation for these bigger guys to do their job, because every muscle has to work off a fixed point. And we get some of our stabilization from the ground because our foot's on the ground, and we get some of our stabilization from the existing parts of our body as well. And if we're moving around and our body looks like a slinky, we're not going to be able to generate any kind of power or force from something as simple as going up and down stairs to throwing a shot put.
Interesting. And you know, you were a guest on my TV show, The OC Body, and we went over a lot of these different things. I was your lab rat, if you will. Yeah, I remember you did make a few remarks to me that were just cherished.
all out of a place of love.
Yeah. I'm sure, yeah. I feel it's actually just oozing through the line here. I'm grateful for that. I want to talk a little bit about other modalities, complementary or not, and I'm going to guess they're complementary to the work that you do. And I'm going to go down a list, and if you could just give me kind of a 30-second to 1-minute synopsis of how it's helpful and synergistic with your work.
Okay.
Massage therapy, just general effleurage and deep tissue, let's say.
Well, that certainly helps. Passively helps relax the muscles, improve circulation. You know, we get blockages, we get pollution that accumulates in the tissue over time because of restrictions that we have that may be caused by other reasons, and it can expedite the whole process if somebody's circulation is going good, the lymphs are working well, and they're able to relax certain muscles that have been under contraction 24/7.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, you said something passively, and I think that's important too, because we're going to talk about chiropractic next. You're not an active participant. However, it can help mobilize your body to where when you are active that it allows it to allow the stability and foundational exercises to work better. Is that right?
Yes. I think what it does is it certainly – are we talking about chiropractic?
Well, it could be both. Let's talk about chiropractic. Go ahead.
Well, in chiropractic, it's certainly how – one of the major premises of chiropractic is that how it improves the neural flow, or how the messages are leaving the spinal cord and making their way to the organs and the muscles. And my view of that is, as they do that, and even if they're adjusting the periphery, meaning the ankles and the knees and everything, it provides a window of opportunity for the body to do things better. But again, as a passive participant, unless you reinforce that with a strategically planned exercise program, oftentimes you become dependent on this person to provide this window of opportunity for you 1, 2, 3 times a week with adjustments.
So, I am a fan of chiropractic. I love it when people say they don't believe in it, and I say you don't have to believe in it. It's not a religion. it does help. Here's the challenge, and I'm gonna set up this scenario, and then tell me what you think about it. Someone has low back pain, and it's obviously there's some distortion, potentially rotation of their pelvis. A podiatrist may check to see if their pes planus, flat-footed, which would drop their pelvis. An orthopedist would probably check everything. A physical therapist would determine the pelvic stability. A chiropractor would probably adjust their lumbar spine. A personal trainer would have them do hyperextensions and crunches on a Swiss ball. And a massage therapist would work on their psoas muscle. That's the front. It's not the front. You actually approach it from the front. Those are the muscles that help your hip flexion and your low back, and they would also massage your spine. Who's right? Actually, they're all right and they're all wrong.
Exactly.
So why are each of them right and wrong?
Well, because there may be the pebble in the pond syndrome, right? We may have the pebble that goes in, and now we have these changes that occur throughout the body for different reasons. It's very possible that the original source was the foot, but that doesn't exclude the fact that now the pelvis has changed and muscles have changed its length and tension as a result over time. It doesn't mean that the pelvis didn't create a rotation in the hip that made the arch flatten out in the foot. You know, normally what's going to happen is if a person sees a practitioner and they see results, then the practitioner has been pretty close to the source. But if they have to continue going back to see this practitioner, then they know it's only temporary relief and they're really not getting after the source. They're getting after one of the outer rings of the pebble in the pond that is a reflection of something else.
A great analogy. It's almost like taking a pharmaceutical to mask the symptoms.
It can be. I mean, it's not quite as dangerous, but
yeah.
It can be equally as expensive.
I just meant it's not getting to the root of the causes. Is my only comparison.
Yeah. It usually it's not, and especially with my belief in massages, it's wonderful and I love it, but I think rarely is the massage therapist going to get after the root cause. They're going to provide an environment that lets a lot of good things happen, but it's, you know, there's always going to be a mechanical contribution to things.
You know, I have a great question for you, and this is something that, you know, I have my own theory on it, and it also depends on, I mean, each situation is absolutely unique. Someone didn't have a traumatic event. However, they are having discomfort. They have an array of muscular and skeletal abnormalities. Let's say they have winging of their scapula. So for someone who's a layperson, that's when your shoulder blade would stick out kind of unusually in the rear, perhaps just one side. Maybe they're a little rounded in the back. They have weak abdominals, and they're slightly flat-footed, and because of that, they may also be slightly bow-legged, or I'm sorry, knock-kneed. So, you know, if they're going to do your type of therapeutic, functional type of exercises, a general conditioning program, they like acupuncture, massage, and chiropractic. They all have a place. Every healing art has its place. What's the order of operation? What do you do first?
I would personally, if it were up to me, I think some of the things can be done in parallel. For instance, chiropractic and massage. Chiropractic, massage, and acupuncture are all passively performed, or the client or patient is a passive participant. So something is always being done to them. Therefore, anything that involves exercise, as long as it's only coming from one group instead of multiple inputs, can be complementary to any of those. But if there's inflammation present, then a lot of times the acupuncture can be the best source. If the person is so restricted and has muscle guarding and the chiropractor cannot adjust them, then sometimes the soft tissue work or massage is beneficial immediately prior to the chiropractic. But in parallel, a lot of these things can be occurring at the same time because they're really not conflicting with one another, and that's the thing that you have to look at.
And that's the beauty of complementary and alternative health care and preventative medicine. is that there is very seldom a conflict to where it would be disadvantageous in any way.
Exactly.
Yes.
Maybe that's why they call it complimentary.
Oh, my gosh. The other compliment, yeah.
The other compliment, yeah.
I hate to make a generalization because I get asked these questions all the time. Well, what do I do? What do I do? And so it depends on the individual. It depends if it's acute or chronic. It depends on if it was caused by trauma. Do you actually know what caused this? That is a crucial question. If you don't have any idea what caused it, you may be continually doing the same thing and re-aggravate it.
Absolutely.
So I think it's very important. And we talked about Tai Chi as well. That's why, and I'm going to digress just a moment. That's why Tai Chi is also very, very helpful. It's something like Feldenkrais, which is a movement therapy, because it's the only thing, or one of the only things, the yoga as well and some other practices, or Qigong, where you slow down enough to listen to your body and understand the message that it's giving you, which will unravel the mystery as to why it feels and moves the way it does. What do you think?
Absolutely. You've got to recognize the difference between what you're always doing and what we'd like you to do differently now. And sometimes that means we've got to slow it down or turn down the volume like you mentioned earlier so that the body can say, okay, this is how it's supposed to feel. We set a baseline for ourselves over time because we don't really have a reference point. This is, I thought everybody moved and felt this way because we can't step out of our body and step into somebody else's functional body and test drive it. Mm-hmm. We have no point of reference but our own body. And so until we're given an environment where we can sort of feel things differently than we always have, that's how true change is going to occur.
All right. Well, I want to talk about a little bit more about a couple other modalities. We have about 3 minutes before we go to a break. What are some of the other complementary treatments that we haven't touched on that people may do? Like, for example, Pilates or therapeutic yoga or Thai massage or rolfing or, how does all that tie in with movement and pain elimination and management?
I think all of those do tie in. I think the Rolfing especially and any kind of deep tissue active release technique.
Okay, describe active release.
Active release technique is a little bit different than some of the other stuff in that it typically involves a little bit of involvement of the individual, so they're actually moving against the pressure and a friction almost that's applied by the practitioner to help the muscle elongate under tension from the practitioner, and it really does a lot for separating adhesions and addressing scar tissue and how that disrupts normal movement.
So you're talking about ART, active release technique or therapy?
ART, yeah, ART, okay. It would be the acronym.
And just so you guys know, there's a group of people who do that. Oftentimes chiropractors learn active release
mostly chiropractors,
getting tremendous,
I believe,
results,
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, the gentleman that put it all together, Dr. Leahy, is a chiropractor himself out of Colorado.
And so we have 2 minutes here. What we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about you're already in a fitness program. Oh, my gosh, what have I done? Have I done anything wrong? Have I caused more damage? Also, here's the thing. Are you not getting the results you want? Sometimes it's diet, and oftentimes you need more intensity. Sometimes you don't have enough duration or enough frequency or consistency. However, when we come back, we're going to talk about how neurologically your muscles may be turned off, and so they don't get the proper message that says fire, fire, contract, squeeze, pump, extend, bend, flex. And if that's not happening, how can they possibly achieve the desired result that you want to get the body you want? You actually may be neurologically shut off, even though you're pounding your brains out at the gym or on the bike or on the run. So when we come back, we're going to find out, are you not getting your results because of neurological discrepancies in your body? Stay with us. Go nowhere.
You're listening to the Dave DePue Network, the voice of fitness.
You're listening to the Spencer Power Hour with Dr. John Spencer Ellis. falling asleep at the wheel again, baby.
All right, everyone, stay with us. We have so much more to come. We're going to make sure that your body's functioning right so you can get in phenomenal shape. Stay with us.
Can you read the signs? Coming your way to Vegas, dirty, and dreaming of the other side. Save your tears and laughter, because it doesn't matter what you find.
Hold, please. I really want to become a personal trainer.
I know I'd make a great life coach.
I'd rather teach yoga.
I want to teach Pilates.
Nesta will make your dreams come true. Learn about our convenient distance training programs. Earn your certification. Gain valuable business skills. Choose from personal training, Pilates, yoga, sports conditioning, life coaching, and more. Enjoy your dream career now. Call 877-FIT-NOW-2 or visit NestaCertified.com.
You're listening to the Dave DePue Network, the voice of fitness.
Falling asleep at the wheel again. All right, everybody, thank you for staying with us. And my guest is Anthony Perry. And Anthony, give us your web address again one more time, and then also the name of your book.
The web address is Anthony Perry. Inc.com, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y-C-A-R-E-Y, Inc.com. The name of the book is The Pain-Free Program, a proven method to relieve back, neck, shoulder, and joint pain.
There you go. And let me tell you, you have my 110% endorsement on this book. I want everyone to go out and buy it. That's it. End of story. Go get it.
Thank you.
Well, right before the break, we're talking about how people may not be getting their fitness results simply because neurologically, muscles aren't being activated in the proper sequence or at all. And can you talk about how that predominance in one area may be shutting off something else if something's firing out of order? I mean, and this is technical, so we're going to break it down.
Well, there's two scenarios that we could look at regarding that situation. One is that for every bicep in the body, the front arm muscle, we think of the beach muscle, there's a tricep, the muscle on the back. So there's a complementary muscle on both sides of the joint, and everywhere in the body that happens. If the bicep starts to get shorter and tighter, and usually due to being overworked or kept in a shortened position, it starts to demand more information from the nervous system. And as that information starts to go to the nervous system, it starts to take it away from the other muscle on the other side, which is in this case is the tricep. Now, as a result of that, the bicep gets more juice, so to speak. It's getting more stimulation, and the tricep is getting ignored. So the bicep will continue to get stronger and tighter, and the bicep will continue to get longer and weaker, and it's a self-perpetuating cycle. Meaning that if nobody comes in and says, hey, wait a minute, we need to do some things to address these imbalances, we need to get the tricep to start showing up to the party, and we need to get the bicep to back off a little bit, it's going to continue to be reflected both in the position of the elbow and the shoulder and also in the movement patterns that involve those parts of the body. Then the other side of it, or the additional scenario also, is what we would call synergistic dominance. And synergists are muscles that do similar but not the exact same motion. So in this case, if we were talking about the bicep and the tricep, it's not quite as easy because they're kind of isolated out there on the arm. But if their friends can help out for the tricep, the friends will help out and start to take over for the tricep's job, meaning that the tricep never gets to do its job because its friends are doing all the work for it because it kind of got sick and fell by the wayside. And so we get that's an additional problem. And because these muscles weren't designed to do exactly the same thing as the tricep, there's a biomechanical price to be paid for that, which is usually some kind of irritation to the joints that those muscles are acting on.
These are great, great analogies. And I just thought of another one that I've actually had myself because I've dislocated my kneecap twice. Once when I was 19 playing hacky sack. What a story. I'd like to say it was climbing Everest, but that wouldn't be true. And the second time, I was fighting with a buddy of mine. He just got his third degree black belt in karate, and I just got my second degree in kung fu. and we were practicing takedowns on each other, and I actually showed him a technique I wish I wouldn't have, because then he swept me and blew my kneecap out to the side.
Oh,
so,
what a buddy.
Oh my gosh. The worst, I heard the only thing that hurts worse is a shoulder dislocation. I don't want to compare. I don't want to experience that. But the point of the story is, besides being gross, is that what happens is now my patella, the kneecap, tracks laterally, and I have to really work on it. So what happens is the lateral portion of the quadricep muscles in the front, just think of the front of your thigh, the lateral part, the side part, now contracts prematurely, and the medial, the inside portion, is not quite as strong, and it doesn't contract quite as the same. So my kneecap, instead of sliding up and down in the groove on your femur bone, the leg bone, it contracts up and laterally to the side. So that in itself is a discrepancy, different from front to back. Now it's medial lateral, or inside and outside. So now there's different techniques for that. One that actually worked pretty well is doing an activator method with the chiropractor. If that helped, then I used the different taping methods that physical therapists use. I've used the foam roller and also strengthening the inner part of my leg to help pull that kneecap back. But what else can someone do if they have something like that with the kind of work that you do?
Well, again, our view of the body is a little bit more global. So even a person that comes with a knee issue like that, we'd still say, okay, well, what's kind of message is the knee getting from the hip and the ankle? Because in reality, the knee's not very smart. It only does what it's told by the hip and the foot and ankle. So you can look locally at that, at those quadricep muscles and on the inside and outside and the pull that way. But then we'd also say, okay, well, what can we do to sort of influence those muscles differently as they relate to the upper leg and the lower leg, and how's the foot and ankle play and all that. So then you can start looking at rotations of the hip joint and pronation, good or bad pronation, too much or not enough, and what the and if the ankle is bending the way it's supposed to, and how that actually cues a whole response all the way up to the hip, and the knee is right in that pathway. So we would go beyond just the muscles pulling from inside to outside if that would be what you're describing in from our perspective would be an initial step, and that's, again, using kind of conventional medicine and thinking, okay, we can do this, we've got them at a certain point, but as you've probably noticed, you haven't gotten where you need to be, and then you have to start looking out a little bit beyond just the knee.
It is better, and I actually have had a hip injury. It's interesting you said that, but my feet are pretty good. And one thing that you noted when you worked with me, because I competed at a national level in cycling and triathlon for so many years, my calves are freakish.
They're scary.
Yes, it's kind of scary. It's like Lee Presson calves. Just put them on there. So because they're so developed by comparison, probably even more so than my thigh, and it's not due to any extra work on my part. It's just from, you know, I competed from before I could drive a car, you know. And you thought that muscular development may be causing some of that as well. In the popliteus, which is a small muscle that's kind of in the middle and the back of your knee, and you know, there's so many different things that tie in there. How would that tie in?
Well, when you see such a large development like that, I mean, you certainly think part of it's going to be congenital. I mean, especially with a muscle group like the calf. But
it was when I was a kid too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that can always be part of it. But then you think, well, if the calves are being used so much, that means somebody else may not be being used enough. So you're providing a lot of the propulsion that we need in gait and running, especially because of how you competed. Where if your quads weren't stabilizing your knee from the front the way they needed to, and even your buttocks, your gluteus maximus wasn't doing its job as you ran and your body passed over your leg, you know, the body's going to kind of lock in at the calf, and the big calf muscle crosses the knee. And it's going to look to see how it can contribute and maybe pick up for what the other guys aren't doing properly.
Well, you know, it's funny you said that, because you noted that the quadricep development in my legs right above my knee was not as much as you thought it could be. My upper thighs have a good circumference, but right above the knee, you thought that by comparison it should have a little more mass there based on the rest of my proportions. And could that be part of the neural shutoff due to that stimulus to the opposing muscles?
Definitely, and even those. I mean, the muscle is made up of many motor units, which are the nerve and the muscle fibers. And you can have motor units in a given part of the muscle that are not firing on all cylinders the way that the rest of it is, and then that'll be reflected in portions of the muscle. And again, some of it always can be a little bit congenital. I mean, you could have longer quadricep tendons than some other folks, but you did have a lot of mass further up your thigh in the belly of the quad, and it didn't taper down to your knee symmetrically the way that you would expect on most people.
You know, we had just a couple of minutes here. Well, actually, we have a few minutes, and I want to go over foam rollers because it's interesting. Did you know that Target carries foam rollers now?
Target does.
Yes, and again, just like Kaiser, I commend you. Finally, there's like an awakening.
They're officially
the
mainstream.
Second coming then. Is next. I mean, if Target has foam rollers, I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the world? But the point is, people are waking up, and foam rollers are an important part of this whole thing because it does what's called myofascial release. Explain what fascia is and then how people can use foam rollers and what do we have to be careful of with foam rollers as well?
Well, the fascia in itself is, I often use to describe, similar to when you're cooking chicken and they have that thin layer of skin and that's around the actual belly of the muscle, which is what non-vegetarians eat. And it's really like a sleeve or an envelope that covers, encases all the muscles, and it runs from the bottom of our feet all the way to the top of our head. So even though it doesn't stretch and contract and relax the same way a muscle does, it follows what the muscle will tell it to do because it's sort of riding along as it keeps everything kind of wrapped together. Well, over time, if the muscles are short, the fascia will, like shrink wrap, will tighten around the muscle as well. And as that happens, then we also have fascia that runs in between the individual muscles and even parts of the fibers of some of the muscles. So it becomes gluey and sticky. And that becomes another mechanical factor that's not just that you don't just have a tight muscle now. You've got this glue around the muscle that's also keeping it from lengthening.
So I want to, for people who have not, you know, maybe they train at home and they do Tammy Lee's Buns of Steel stuff and they don't know what a foam roller is. Explain in layman's terms what a foam roller is and exactly how you would work it.
Okay, well, a foam roller is usually it's about 6-inch cylindrical hard styrofoam, and it's in a cylinder shape because we usually put it on the floor and we lie on it using our body weight and pressure, and the pressure that the ground pushes back up at us allows, and as the body lays on that cylindrical shape roller, it creates a separation between the muscle and the fascia. So it's sort of helping things gently be pulled apart. Sometimes it doesn't feel so gently. It can be quite uncomfortable at times, depending where you are on it.
And then after you're done, though.
Not after you're done. It's a beautiful thing.
It's like going to the dentist. No, it's not that bad. I'm just teasing. You know, one thing that I'm trying to, for people who haven't done this before, I want to give them a scenario that they can relate to. If you are a runner, and you've been told you have runner's knee, which is essentially an inflamed IT band, iliotibial tract, which goes down from your rear end to the side of your knee. That if when you use this foam roller appropriately, and then believe me, there's a sequence, you got to do it right because it'll shoot you through the roof if you do not respect it and you apply all your weight at once. It's like peeling back the layers of an onion. You got to go a little bit at a time.
Got to go gently, yeah.
It's in a proper protocol. But if you've had IT band issues, and they call it runner's knee, a foam roller is absolutely one of the best things you can do to help heal yourself, and it costs $30. Can you explain how that works for them?
Well, the same scenario is that you are going to lie on it, but you're going to lie on it in a certain position on your getting the outer portion of your thigh on it, and you're going to use your other foot to help control the pressure. But again, the fascia has shortened as a result of the muscles that it rides along with. But now it becomes the fascia that causes the shots as it tightens up because it won't allow the muscles to lengthen anymore or lengthen to the degree they're supposed to. So that affects that creates a friction and irritation around the outer knee, and that's the IT band syndrome. So now you're working backwards, meaning that, okay, this is the most outer portion of the onion. We do have to address the fascia because just stretching the muscle underneath, it's going to continue to tighten up with the fascia. So one of the tools that can be used is the foam roller for the purpose of lengthening the fascia as it sort of wraps around this 6-inch cylinder.
And I want to create another scenario here. You guys think about this. If you're a runner and you're doing this, and this is another reason why that kneecap may be pulling to the side. Well, part of the reason is, again, as we learned, it could be above or below. If that is always contracting prematurely, it's pulling that kneecap laterally. But why is that happening? I mean, again, it's probably starting up in the hip, and that's just kind of the end result. But if we can get that to relax, now the next thing is what's called neuromuscular reeducation, or part of the process. Neurologically, you have to reeducate your body to say, okay, this is how we're going to fire. This is the order we're going to do it. These are the things that are going to happen simultaneously, and this needs to stay more relaxed. Do you want to expound on that?
Well, I think the analogy of the orchestra is good again here, and the way that the music is produced, if everybody's doing their job correctly, and as the notes change, so certain instruments become louder and other ones back down. And in the human body, if we have a muscle that does not ever back off and is always fighting against everybody else, that's going to disrupt the functional movement or the beauty of the movement that we produce. And if we have other muscles that are just, the volume is too low and they're never showing up to the party and doing their job properly, you have all their friends trying to take over, and things, it gets, for lack of a better word, ugly, the way the body starts to play. And so we have these grooves, like the rain rut that's formed, and the body will just continue down that path because it becomes, although it becomes very efficient for the body to get it done that way, but there's a trade-off, and that's the stress and the wear and tear on all the different joints and ligaments and muscles and even, you know, sometimes the nerves are going to get pinched too, like the sciatic nerve in the back.
You know, we have 3 minutes, Anthony, and I want to go into something in the last 3 minutes because I think we'll have to move briskly. Think about like the squat. Now, there's some people that are going to squat, and there's several different theories on squat, and there's different depths of squat and so forth. But when someone's squatting down, and then all of a sudden their knees bow in or bow out, and they lean forward all of a sudden, they get to a certain point, and then they go boop, and they lean forward. What's going on with their body?
Well, their body doesn't squat properly, meaning that the music doesn't play right, and that could be coming from the ankle, the knee, the hip, even the lower back. But the body is just figuring out a way to get from point A to point B, which is getting the butt closer to the floor. And it gets the job done, but it could be, in some people, if the knees cave in, it means that the outer thigh muscles are not controlling the body as it goes down properly, and the knees just drop in. If the body really has to lean forward a lot of times it's the fact that the calves are so tight that the shin bone doesn't move forward over the foot. And there's, I mean, the squat is such a multi-link event that there's plenty of things that can go wrong. But using those three scenarios that you just described would be, again, the body just saying, okay, I've got to get this done, come hell or high water, I got to get my butt closer to the ground. It does it, but sooner or later.
You know, in the last couple of minutes here, we have 2 minutes, I crack up at this, and this could be a whole dissertation into itself, but people say, well, I can only squat the parallel, and that's all I'm supposed to do, and that's all I can do, and that's all I was told to do, and I'm not going any lower. Well, if you're deconditioned, if you have discrepancies and you have a heavy load on your back, like, you know, 225 pounds on an Olympic bar, for all intents and purposes, most people should stay at parallel. However, your body was meant to drop your butt to the floor and fold like an accordion. If you look at the Asian cultures, they do it all the time, and they don't seem to have a bunch of issues like we do in America.
No.
Why? It's because they've been using their body and doing it for a long period of time. And also, I mean, in a big generalization, they tend not to be as heavy as we are, so they don't place unnecessary stress on the joints, and they continue to function at a higher level. What do you think about this?
I think that's absolutely true. I mean, as far as the folks using their bodies more frequently and not going from bed to dining table to car to desk to stationary bike to car to couch to bed, you know, the body gets challenged in ways it needs to. We're not hunters and gatherers anymore. We're ordering our groceries off the internet. So.
Hey, Anthony, I'm getting the message here that they're going to give me the hook. So we got to wrap this up. My guest has been Anthony Carey, and tell them the name of your book one more time.
The Pain-Free Program, a proven method to relieve back, neck, shoulder, and joint pain.
All right, you guys go out and get this. It is absolutely incredible. Anthony is a great guy. I've been your host, John Spencer Ellis. You've been listening to the Spencer Power Hour. Check out my website. I got a bunch of great stuff going on, johnspencerellis.com. You guys hang in there. Be well.
falling asleep at the wheel again, baby. You're drifting over the line, yeah. Your hands are tied, but you're losing grip quickly. Fix me, can you read the signs? Coming your way to Vegas, dirty, and dreaming of the other side. Save your tears and laughter, because it doesn't matter what you find. It ain't pretty. After the show, it ain't pretty when the pretty leaves you with no place to go.
World Talk Radio,
the number one source for informative talk on the World Wide Web.